The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. It is at hand. These are some of the words of the gospel today from the 24th chapter of Luke. And as we have come to this, the beginning of our liturgical year, so Happy New Year for those of us who are Western Rite Orthodox Christians, as we begin our liturgical year, we do so with these words resonating, which were not only the same message that was essentially preached by St. John the Baptist, our patron, the forerunner of our Lord, who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven," or the kingdom of God, "is at hand," is near. And after Jesus' baptism, it was the words that our Lord proclaimed upon the inauguration of his public ministry, following baptism and following his temptation in the wilderness. His message was the same: repent, for the kingdom of God is near. It is at hand. The Greek word here that's used for this talks about a proximity such that it is almost touching us. There's something tangible about the kingdom of God that is breaking through the created order, this invisible reality that is pressing down, that is touching. And with that comes Jesus' teaching to anticipate, to realize in seeing the signs across the entire cosmos and across the entire created order, across all of our political structures that are in distress and, as the gospel says, perplexity. We should see this as a sign of the coming of the kingdom of God. And as we've come to this first Sunday in Advent, the word Advent itself comes from the Latin, which basically means to come, the coming. The coming, we anticipate the coming of our Lord. And of course, for Advent, it is the coming of our Lord at the Nativity, at Christmas, when he became visible to the world. But we take this idea of his coming in Advent to also talk about the final consummation of the kingdom at his second coming, when the gospel says, "The Son of Man shall come on a cloud." And we know that this is imagery that Jesus uses, not only in a literal sense, because we know that he was taken up by a cloud at his ascension, but also it also harkens back to the Old Testament, where the presence of God in the tabernacle during the day was a cloud that resided over the tabernacle to signify the presence of God. As we have come to this new liturgical year, as we prepare our hearts and our souls for the coming of our Lord at his nativity at Christmas, we should hearken unto the teachings of our Lord. In making these spiritual preparations, we don't come to these holy days of our church year without proper preparation. Of course, Pascha being the center of our liturgical life, and Lent, that period of anticipation of spiritual preparation. But Christmas, or the Nativity, being the second most holy day, is also a time of preparing. And this is why in Romans, in St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, as we heard, talks about the same thing, about preparing ourselves. And he said, "And do this knowing the time." He says, knowing the time. That is hearkening back to what Jesus is saying, being able to look at the fig tree or the other trees and seeing them in blossom and knowing that summer is near, being able to sense the season, knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Both St. Paul and our Lord was teaching in this, in both cases, in preparing ourselves for the coming of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that we need to cast off the works of darkness, that we need to come out of our spiritual indolence and slothfulness and sleepiness. This is one of the reasons why one of the Orthodox prayers in the morning is talking about casting off or taking away, asking the Lord to take away the sleepful indolence, our laziness, our slothfulness. You see, regardless of how pious that we sometimes can be, regardless of how devoted we can be, the Church Father, St. Ambrose in particular, talks about this need to come out of a withered state spiritually. St. Ambrose talks about the sufferings of life, the stressors of life, causing us to kind of draw back, to become spiritually withered. And we need these seasons of preparation to allow the light of the Holy Spirit, His grace, to reinvigorate, to re-energize, to cause us to recognize how we may have slipped, how we may have become lazy, how we may have become spiritually undisciplined. But he said, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. You see, Advent represents a season of the already and the not yet. When Jesus came in his public ministry, when he was saying the kingdom of heaven is near, it literally was near for those who stood in close proximity to him, who sat under his teaching. But the plan of salvation that was set forth from the very beginning, before the very beginning in the mind of God, was not yet fully consummated. It had to be consummated in his passion, in his suffering, in his death, in final defeat of death, in the resurrection of our Lord. And so as we have been called to the bridegroom, as the bride, as we prepare ourselves, we do so for that final wedding day, if you will, where heaven and earth will come together, where our Lord will descend on a cloud just as he ascended into heaven. And our Lord said that this generation, that is, the generation of this church, shall by no means pass away before these things happen. He said, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. In our own broken nature, we can sometimes not only become lazy and indolent, but we can also become somewhat callous to the grace of God and the voice of our own conscience. And this is why, as we enter these periods of time that the church has prescribed for us, that it be a season of fasting, of almsgiving, of denying our carnal passions and flesh, so that we might be open to the healing, redemptive, and sanctifying presence of our Lord, to be more discerning, acutely discerning, that our redemption does draw near, that the kingdom of heaven is breaking in. It's touching us. It's changing us. But we can become obtuse to this in our own life and propensity toward sinning and away from a spiritual life into the life of the busyness of the day-to-day activities, the stressors of the world, elections, COVID, all the things which can detract and distract us from the reality that the kingdom of God is at hand. Almost all of us have a sense in being able to read and discern things, particularly when it comes to danger. But I think that there are many times people who do not have a certain training or a certain set of experiences about those indicators may go about completely unaware of the dangers that surround them. For those of us who have spent time in either the military or especially in law enforcement, we have been given particular training in recognizing potential dangers that the ordinary citizens would not always recognize. And we develop what we call radar. Radar for having that sixth sense about something's not right. Something's not right with that guy or gal. Something's not right about this situation. It's one of the reasons why to this day when Pam and I go into a restaurant, she always knows that I'm going to have my back to the wall and I'm going to be facing the front door to see who's coming in, to be able to read them. This is experience and discipline and training. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what our Lord is calling us to wake up out of our slumber, to train ourselves, to cast off the works of darkness, and to put on the armor of light, to have that spiritual acuity, not knowing exactly when the time's coming, when that day will happen, but knowing that our Lord is already present, and that final consummation is on the way. This is the message of not only Advent, but it's the message of the gospel, to prepare ourselves. It was 21 years ago exactly last evening when my father called me. I was pastoring three churches at that time over in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, but he had called me to let me know that his mother, my grandmother Hamrick, had been taken to Frederick Memorial Hospital, that she was near the end of her life, having suffered for many years from congestive heart failure. And he said to me, if you want to see her and say goodbye, you better get here tonight. And so I immediately left and headed into Frederick to see my grandmother. I was blessed not only to be raised in a pious Christian home, but I was blessed to have four grandparents, godly grandparents, who lived well into my adult life. And Grandma, as I met her at her hospital bed, even at the closing hours of her life, was cheerful, said, I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be thinking much about me, because I know that I go to a better place. Even in her last moments, she wasn't thinking about herself, but she sensed that death was very near. And she clung to the promise of God that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. The next morning, 21 years ago today, she passed from this life into the next. And she, along with all my other forebears of the faith, continued to not only intercede for me, I have no doubt, but continue to be an example of godliness, of an acute awareness of the kingdom of God. Just as one senses death drawing near, so we too need to sense the kingdom of God breaking in, touching us, touching our souls each and every moment of the day. And then in just a moment, we will have the precious gift of having our Lord literally enter our bodies through his broken body, through his precious shed blood, as the greatest sign and symbol that truly the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.